In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Coming up. In the Gospel reading, Christ gives a warning. Sin no more, lest something worse befall you. I have a hard time thinking of many things worse than 38 years being paralyzed with no one to care for you, laying there among many others, which are listed as invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed, with the far distant hope, maybe a hope, of healing. One of the hymns in the Vespers service gives a very stark image of this man. We sang last night, "The paralytic, who is like unto a dead man unburied, having seen thee, O Lord, cried out, have mercy upon me, for my bed hath become my grave." Whoa. Like a dead man unburied, my bed hath become my grave. That's a dark image. But I do think that it gives us a good idea of where this man was. Sort of hopeless. And so when Christ warns him, sin no more, lest nothing worse befall you. What's worse than that? Yikes. Well, the answer to what is worse? Death. Death is worse. And not merely the death of the body. We're all mortal. And we're all subject to physical death. This is reality. But Christ is speaking of the death that cuts off, or the death of the soul. When the soul is cut off from the source of its life, this is spiritual death. And this is what's worse than 38 years. Lying with no hope of being healed. From Romans 6, we know that the wages of sin is death. And so this is why Christ says, sin no more, lest nothing worse befall you. Now, after this man had been healed of both body and soul, restored to fullness of life, Jesus does not say, okay, there you go, now stay away from ladders and cliffs so you don't get paralyzed again. Jesus is not concerned for his physical well-being primarily. Now, of course, he is concerned for him. But his physical health is not the primary focus, but his spiritual health. He doesn't say, stay away from ladders and cliffs, but sin no more and preserve the life that I have given to you. Now, Christ approached this one man among all the others, although who's to say whether or not he continued on. Actually, some of the fathers say that he did continue on and go to heal others. But he approached this man among all the others, and this is recorded for our benefit. And if we are reading this account as we ought to be, we see ourselves in the paralytic. We are the paralytic. We are unable to heal ourselves, and so the Savior approaches us. He knows our need, and he desires for us to be whole. And so he approaches us. Now, Jesus asked the man a question, as he did many times before. Do you want to be healed? And the man responds, saying, since he has no one to put him into the pool, others get there first. What am I to do? Essentially, yes, of course I want to be healed. But as soon as the angel stirs the waters, someone else gets there before me. And so Christ, having compassion on this man, through his action, demonstrates his great love for him. The man says, yes, I want to be healed, but this is impossible. And so Christ, through his action, says, I love you. Let me do the impossible for you. Allow me to show you that I am not just a man to lift you into the pool, but the God who became man for our salvation, the Son of Man who comes to heal all mankind. Not just a man, but the man. St. John Chrysostom, whose liturgy we celebrate, comments, then infirmity was a hindrance to him who desired to be healed. He was paralyzed. He couldn't get up. His infirmity was a hindrance to his healing. But now each one of us has the power to approach. For it is not an angel that troubleth the water, it is the Lord of angels who worketh healing for all. Now the pool troubled by the angel, which brings healing, is an image of baptism. And in Christ, this pool of healing is open to all who desire it, not just to the first ones to get there. We have no need to wait for an angel to come, because the Lord of angels has already come to us. This man, now made whole, afterward, he's asked, who did this? And he couldn't say. He didn't know who Jesus was. And afterward, he finds Christ in the temple. Now, this is important. This is significant. Rather than laying back down on his bed of infirmity, as he could have done, as instructed, this man gets up, he takes his bed, and he walks. But he doesn't just do a couple laps around the pool, staying where he had spent 38 years. No, he leaves. He goes to the temple to pray, to give thanks, and to glorify God. And in doing so, there he meets God face to face. And he receives this life-giving instruction. Sin no more, lest nothing worse befall you. Returning to Romans 6. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by glory of the Father, so too might we walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. As we continue in this Paschal season, let us who has been raised up with the paralytic sin no more, that we might preserve our life in Christ, lest we return to a state of death, cut off from him who is our life. And let us who have been baptized and united to Christ who were buried and raised with him, continue in the newness of life of the resurrection. Christ is risen.
Amen.